Neil Ross here, and it's time to get altered and get geeky on Altered Geek with Steve Megatron.
Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me this week is...
Michael Boothinger Powers.
Yep, we are back, and we figured that this would be a good time to talk about the predictions episode from last year.
I think it's a good time to talk about it for all but one of our predictions, just because we still have yet to see a return on that.
Yeah.
But like we said in the pre-show, we can record two parts of that. So, because we're either right or we're wrong.
Exactly.
So, but do you have like an episode number so people could go back and listen to this?
I don't.
If they wanted to.
But I do have the link. So I'm okay. going to make sure I tag that in the episode post on the website. If you even search Altered Predictions, it's the first thing that comes up. It's from the January 2nd, 2018 episode, which was probably recorded a week before that. Episode 230. Because thankfully I'm a dork like that, and I put the episode numbers on the featured banner. So that even if I can't tell what episode it is, it still shows up.
So anyone that's a new listener or wasn't listening back then or just forgets, sometimes Steve and I like to make wild predictions, and we decided to dedicate an entire show to predicting what we thought 2018 was going to be, and we thought it'd be fun to kind of do like a little time capsule and listen to that episode at the end of 2018 and see whether we were right or wrong about our predictions, and then come clean about that. And then make new ones for 2019. So
yes.
This is the fruit of that labor, I guess.
So the one of the first ones, like, and it's, I don't know if it was just me wanting it to happen or not, just to see if it would happen. The Hasbro buying Mattel, which was obviously false.
So wait, you wanted it to happen,
or you didn't want
it to happen?
I think I did, the way I was talking enthusiastically about it. But it seems like they all got hurt this year, because Toys R Us was like, bye-bye.
Yeah. But hey, KB Toys is coming back, right? So.
Well, they said they were going to come back for this Christmas season, and I have yet to see a store. But I have seen Joffrey's Toy Box, which are little miniature Toys R Us's that are inside KB or inside of Kroger's.
Okay,
it's the weirdest thing. Like they have like the $40 to $50 price range toys that are like supposed to sell in these Joffrey Toy Box is what it's called, and it's got their mascot on the side of it, and it's literally like an end cap piece.
Huh. I don't really go into a Kroger too much anymore, so I haven't seen one, but I also haven't heard of this, so that's interesting.
Yeah, it's really strange. I was like, okay, we're going to bring back Toys R Us as like a mini kiosk at the end of an end cap in the store.
Okay, so this isn't the comeback that they were talking about with Toys R Us a couple months ago, is it?
I think like, it is. At least for now.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, this is, you know... I mean, granted, they just recently released information about giving out a severance package, finally, to everyone that got canned. But, you know, 6 months later, I guess it's better than nothing, but...
it's true.
But, yeah, so they're doing these little mini kiosk things, and, yeah, like I said, I have yet to see a KB pop up anywhere.
All right, so we were wrong about Hasbro buying Mattel.
Yes.
Okay. So the next one on the list, though, I feel like I don't know. I could be wrong. Maybe it's like maybe because we're so far into it being like a thing, having come true, But I feel like this was a gimme. Like when we made the prediction for some reason, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. That is, you predicted that AT&T would buy Time Warner.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't remember the state of the media sphere. You know, I can't recall the state of the media sphere like 12 months ago. So I can't remember if there were already rumblings of such a thing and that's why we brought it up, or there must have been rumblings though, because we wouldn't have brought that up out of nowhere.
There were in October of 2016, there were rumblings of AT&T buying Time Warner for $85 billion in like that in stock or something like that. And then something got blocked and fell through or something.
Okay.
And then it finally, you know, took place. So yeah, it could have been partially like how long it took them to consolidate everything. It seemed like a really weird situation. So I think I was being sarcastic, but serious about it at the same time. So it's kind of like a, I don't know, like a partial win.
Right.
So, because it was supposed to close somewhere in like 2017 or something, and then there was a lot of legal back and forth or something. Basically, like what happened with Fox and Disney. So,
right. Okay. Has anything good come out of that yet? I don't feel like anything's good come out of that.
Nothing that I can see. I know that they consolidated a lot of the different Warner Media companies into different companies and renamed a lot of things and further consolidated things, but I'm not entirely sure what's going on with the entire scope of things. I do know that this is kind of the funny thing. I was having a conversation about Batman TV rights, of why they can't show Batman on TV. And we were having this conversation on Twitter, and I don't know if you'd seen it or not.
No.
But I was really getting irritated with the fact that they keep doing like all these other shows on CW, and then they mentioned Batman left and right, but never actually show him. And they mentioned in the Elseworlds crossover information of why he hasn't been seen in the Arrowverse, because he just miraculously is missing or gone or for whatever reason. I was talking to one of the guys from Simplistic Reviews, along with DJ Valentine from there, and he said that it's a giant cluster, basically, that because of the rights, I guess Fox owns the rights to the 60s show of Batman being on television. Like all the rights to Bruce Wayne, Batman, and a lot of those are under the Fox umbrella. And WB owns the Batman character, so it makes it kind of a crazy situation. And I mentioned that, you know, that explains why I'd kind of heard something like that before. And it's interesting because AT&T, now that they own WB and Batman, and Disney owning Fox, is we could see a rights swap between companies at some point for their properties held by the other. So, like, AT&T has, like, in one of their subsidiaries of Warner Brothers, the rights to the Star Wars films, and Disney, technically through Fox, has the rights to Batman on television.
That's interesting.
Which I'm not sure how long those rights for either company hold up, but I could definitely see some kind of a swap happen later on.
Yeah, that's weird though, because I'm wondering how those rights are structured, because most rights are, if you don't do something with the property, you lose it. And Fox hasn't done anything with Batman. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like they and Fox like went out of their way and made that. I can't think of the guy's name, but they made that 1990s Fantastic Four movie that they never released to be able to keep the rights to Fantastic Four. Roger Corman, he directed a Fantastic Four movie in the 90s, and so that Fox could keep the rights. And it's like Fox wanted to keep the rights to Daredevil, so they made that Daredevil movie as fast as possible. And it's the same reason that Sony kept making Spider-Man movies, is because if they don't do something with the property, they lose the rights to it after so many years. So, like, unless it's some weird, janky thing that Fox just has the rights for life, like, they've done nothing with the character.
As far as I've read as well, Fox bought all Batman TV rights for the new Gotham series as well, or for the current Gotham series.
And so they haven't put Batman in either.
No, but they've had Bruce Wayne and they've had all of his rogue gallery, which is why we've never seen any of them in any of the Arrowverse, any of those characters, because other than Ra's, that's literally the only one that's traversed between the two series.
But I'm cool with that. Like, I don't like that. That's one of the things I didn't care for with the Arrow, like with the League of Assassins. Like, I did not need Oliver Queen to be Batman. Bruce Wayne light.
No.
I don't need Batman villains to show up in the Arrowverse without there being a Batman. But that's interesting. It's just one of those, I guess it's been so long since I've seen watched the Adam West Batman. Like, I don't remember the company logos attached to it. You know, at the end of like the production logos.
I think it was ABC back then.
So why? Which whatever. I think
ABC may have sold the rights. I'm sure it was some like shell company at some point.
Okay.
But I know that the original 60s Batman did appear on the ABC TV network.
Okay.
Originally. And then they sold, like, I guess something happened with the rights to that, and Warner Brothers kind of. I don't know. It's a really weird, sticky situation with Batman on television, anyway. Because I guess they made, like, ABC made a deal with 20th Century Fox to produce the show of the Batman show back in the 60s. So it was kind of a weird situation back then, even. I don't know. I would love to see them do something with him again, but not not necessarily with what we've got with Gotham. I would actually like to see him hit the CW universe, since we've got Superman and everybody else in there now.
Has the Elseworld stuff aired yet?
It doesn't air until, well, by the time this comes out, it'll have aired, but it's like the first week of December. It's maybe okay. Second week. I think it's the second week of December. It's supposed to be like the 9th, 10th, and 11th or something.
I gotta go back and see if I can watch those shows from the season of the shows from episode one on the CW app here soon, because I want to be able to watch Elseworlds, but I need to know what's going on in the respective seasons. So,
well, as far as Arrow, like, I don't know how far you've gotten in that, but
none. I haven't watched any of this season.
Oh, none of this season. Okay.
I haven't watched any of this season of any of the shows. So, and if I can't see, like, if I go to check later today or tomorrow and I can't watch, like, the first episode, I'll probably just wait for them to hit Netflix, which means I won't be able to have any conversations about the Elseworld stuff.
Yeah. So. I'll say with Arrow, you're not missing much.
Well, go figure.
Especially this season, there's really, like, until this episode that just aired, there really hasn't been any, like, progress. Legends of Tomorrow has nothing to do with this crossover. Which is fine because they're doing great on their own. Supergirl, honestly, like, I've kind of skimmed it. There's really not been much there either. And then the Flash is really the only one with stuff going on, but even then, like, some of the stuff is kind of watered down. I think that they're just kind of pushing to try and get Batwoman off the ground more than anything at this point, because there's been, like, subtle drops to Gotham throughout different stuff, and then other than that, there really hasn't been much going on.
I do hope she gets her own show, because I think that would be neat.
I only hope she gets her own show because I hope in the eventuality we'll see more of the Batman family join the series.
Yeah.
And that would be like a test bed, because Gotham will be over, that they'd be able to get, you know, the rights back to kind of move it wherever they need to.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that that would be like the best place for it at that point. But yeah, and in the meantime, I mean, I guess that would be fine, like, just having something in Gotham as opposed to nothing.
So going back to the rumor, though, the AT&T Time Warner buyout, though, I think the other thing that I've seen come out of this is that AT&T now offers like a skinny package of TV with their cell phone service. I don't know. I have free access to it with my AT&T cell service, but I haven't checked it out yet. It's like 30 channels or something like that.
I'll have to look at, like, that, because I have AT&T for my cell phone as well.
It's like watch AT&T watch or watch AT&T. I don't know what it is. I did my little T-Mobile thing for a month and a half, and not even like a month and a half, but like a month, and I've already switched back to AT&T. I went crawling back with my tail between my legs. So, and I will never take cell phone service for granted again.
Yeah, I've not switched in years, and honestly, I don't see myself switching anytime soon. I had Sprint previously, and I didn't favor it very much, and then mostly because where I lived, we didn't get cell service, and we had to have a booster in the house, and so it just kind of sucked all the way around. And then when we moved and bought this house, our Sprint worked, but the only problem was if we were paying almost double of what we're paying now for our cell service. And so, I mean, granted, it was unlimited, which is why I was able to just download Galore on my phone. But the AT&T service has been vastly superior to the Sprint service that I had.
Yeah, we had a little bit of an issue back at the end of September. I didn't have an unlimited data plan, but I had 10 people on my plan. And we were fine. We had a 40 gig bucket for everybody to use, and we were doing fine, but we kept coming real close to hitting our cap. And everyone knows that when you go over, that's when they get you, because you pay $15 for 1 gig once you exceed your limit. And I hit 40 gigs with like 2 days left in my billing cycle. And we went over 3 gigs in 2 days. So I got nailed for $45.
Yikes.
In less than 2 days. And I was like, okay, we got to do something. And to switch to AT&T's unlimited data plan was going to raise everyone's cell phone bill, like, I don't know, $7, I think.
Yikes.
And everyone was paying $35 for their phones.
Mm-hmm.
And so to ask them just to pay paying $42 for unlimited data on a cell phone is not a bad deal, I don't think.
Considering it's expensive.
Right, but it's expensive to go by yourself. Yes. It's like $60 to $80 if you're not on a plan. So $42, that's not bad. But I don't really like to ask people for more money. I like to, like, try to save money. You know, like, I have a hard time saying, okay, we need to switch to this. And when really there were only, like, a couple of offenders that were using up all the data. So I couldn't really justify, like, asking everyone to pay $7 more to cover, like,
two people,
40%. Well, like, 40% of the people on our plan. Myself included, mind you. So I looked at T-Mobile because I'd heard that they'd come a long way with their service, and I liked some of the stuff that they were, you know, that they were saying and all this other stuff. So I called them up and I said, "What is it for unlimited data, talk, text, and whatever?" And they're like, "For 10 lines." And they said it's $30 a line. And I was like, well, shoot, I can't beat that, you know. So I ordered my SIM cards, and after being with AT&T for 14 years, I left. And I regretted it almost immediately. Like, almost immediately, I wow. regretted it. There were just, like, little things that, like, the 14 years I had AT&T for my service, I never thought about my cell phone service. I never worried about whether or not my phone would work, you know? Like, it just did. That's what it did. It was a phone. It worked no matter where I was. And so shortly after we switched, we went on a trip to Dallas for a wedding. And Dallas is AT&T country, because I believe that's where they're headquartered.
Yep.
And so I was kind of bummed that I wasn't able to go to Dallas with AT&T on my phone. I went there with T-Mobile. And when we got to the airport, like, we got to the rental car area. I didn't have service in the rental car area with my phone. And luckily, I didn't need to have service to do what I needed to do to get the rental car. But it's like, how can you not have cell phone service, like, at an airport? Like, what if you are there waiting for someone to pick you up, you know? Like, you'd think you'd at least have it there. But so it's just, like, little things like that just kind of started adding up. And then I noticed, like, the stretch of road. There's a stretch of road in Ohio, like, when I go back to Michigan. You literally just drove it. But, like, when I had T-Mobile, I made that drive, like, four times. And I would notice I would literally hit dead spots in cell phone coverage in 2018.
That's terrible.
It would literally drop out to nothing and then go to edge and then 4G and then back to LTE. And then it would drop back down all the way to nothing and then come back. Like, and I had never, ever, ever saw AT&T do that. Not once. So it was, so there were just little things, and it just kind of all added up. And the real kicker, the kick in the teeth, was Allie, my wife's grandmother, goes down to Florida for the summer by herself. And she couldn't make a phone call without going outside of her home. She had to go out on the porch to make a phone call.
Oh, wow.
So as soon as Allie told me that, I called up AT&T and I was like, listen, I made a mistake. I need to come back. You know, I get why they charge more now, basically. And you're paying for that peace of mind, I guess, that you actually have service when you need service.
Paying the premium for good reason.
Yeah. And I just, you know, I guess, like I said, I took it for granted, and I didn't realize I had taken it for granted. So, but, yeah, so, okay, AT&T buys Time Warner. That was the second prediction.
Yep.
The next one, I feel like it's twofold. I feel like we were half right on this one. Well, no, I feel like there were three different predictions on this.
Okay.
We were talking about Fantastic Four. We talked about maybe hearing about a theatrical release, which there was nothing, right?
Nope.
Mostly because the Marvel... The Fox Disney buying Fox deal was only solidified, like, this past summer,
pretty much.
right? Like spring, summer, like too late to actually do anything like this year, right? So no movie announcements for Fantastic Four. And there were also, we also talked about there being like a Netflix announcement for the series, because that would give them more room to flesh out the family drama of the Fantastic Four. Completely off base on that one, mainly because, well, everything seems to, all the Marvel stuff seems to be leaving Netflix. I don't remember hearing this in the podcast when I re-listened to it today, like a comic revival for Fantastic Four. But I think they did relaunch the comic.
They did. And that's kind of why I put that in there, was not, we didn't have anything about it, but I remembered that Marvel did revive the comic book.
So we didn't actually predict it. We didn't predict anything correctly about Fantastic Four then.
No.
Okay.
Nope.
We were off. I don't know why we didn't think about them relaunching it as a comic book, but we also still thought that Marvel was playing hardball with Fox by cutting Fantastic Four out of comic book distribution. So,
which they could have been.
They could have been. I still would like to see, well, I guess we can save that for the predictions for 2019. Yeah, any more you want to say about the Fantastic Four stuff?
I think we're good there.
Okay, all right.
I predicted there would be a new Wolverine cast by Disney with the announcement of Fox being purchased by Disney, which there's not been.
Yeah, nothing.
There's nothing. There's not even like a signal in the wind of it.
I guess you could also spin that into us not being correct about an X-Men reboot from Disney.
Yeah, because we're still getting Dark Phoenix,
which was delayed from December. It was originally supposed to be like December, and then it moved to February, and now it's next summer?
Something like that.
So that one just keeps getting pushed back. It's interesting. I've watched a couple of videos online about how people think they could pull mutants into the MCU. And they'll, a couple of things were that they could have just always been there, just flying under the radar. Because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of laid the groundwork for it a little bit, so they could always go back to that well. But
true,
we also have the events of Infinity War, and how they undo that could impact.
Could have the multiverse crash upon itself.
Yeah, pretty much. Or like when everyone, spoilers, when everyone may or may not come back to life, like, you know, a portion of that population that comes back, they're now mutants. So there's ways they could be do it. There's ways they could do it, because guess what? It's a comic book movie. And if they put Marvel Studios X-Men in front of it, everyone's going to go and eat that up cold. They don't even need to heat it up. I thought that kind of about like Spider-Man Homecoming. Like, I thought Spider-Man Homecoming was going to be like the second coming of Spider-Man. But it wasn't really that. I mean, it was good, but it wasn't really like the second coming of Spider-Man. Because that's like, Spider-Man is like, that's pure Marvel. Like, that's 100% Marvel. And I felt like they did a good job of making a Spider-Man movie, but I don't feel like they made as good of a Spider-Man movie as they
projected
could have. You know what I'm saying? Like, Spider-Man 2 is still better. And I just thought, I thought for sure Marvel Studios would knock that out of the park, and I feel like they got a third base hit out of it, for a sports analogy. Which is not bad for your first go round, but I feel like X-Men's gonna be the same thing too. It's gonna be like, you're gonna get a lot of people that are gonna go see it because they want to see how Marvel Studios is gonna handle the X-Men.
Yeah, I could see that too.
But But I thought that about Spider-Man too. But I think people were so, I don't know. Do you think, I don't see, I feel like that's where you, that's kind of where we're hitting like the fatigue of the superhero movie, because technically you probably, I'm sure a lot of the people were that look-in audience that are going to go see every Marvel Studios movie, but I'm sure there were a number of people that were turned off by a third Spider-Man.
I could definitely see that.
So I'm wondering, like,
because we've changed him more than we have Batman in the last few years. Although if the Matt Reeves one gets off the ground, that's going to be a totally different subject.
Well, let's look at it this way. They've had two people have played Batman in the time it took for three people to play Spider-Man. Is that right? Because the first Spider-Man was 2002, but Bale didn't take over until 2005. And then Holland took over before. Was Civil War before?
We had Batman Garfield. V Superman? We had Garfield before that.
Right, right. But was Holland before Batman v Superman or after?
After.
Like Civil War.
Civil War was before, or it was before Justice League. Anyway.
Why can't I remember this? I feel like Civil War and Batman v Superman were the same year. I feel like they were both 2016.
I'm going to check. Captain America 2016. And then Batman.
Batman v Superman is 2015, isn't it?
It is
2016.
Came out same year. But one came out first.
Did Batman v Superman come out first?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, so then we've had, so technically, okay, so yeah, they had two Batman in the same time frame as three Spider-Mans.
Pretty much. Which is kind of sad.
I don't know. Do you think the same, I'm wondering now if like the same fate will follow X-Men, but I think it depends on what characters they put in the first X-Men movie. Like if they do Wolverine, like we think that they're going to, I think people are going to go to want to see how the new Wolverine does. You know what I'm saying? Like if they want it to be a smash across the board, I think you have to put Wolverine in the first movie.
I think that they almost need Wolverine in the first one just because we've already seen two renditions of half the characters, either in their old or young version.
And I think you just need to get out of the way. You need to rip that Band-Aid off.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, who's going to replace Hugh Jackman? No one's going to be good enough to replace Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, so you just have to do it.
It's like Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah. Except I don't think he'll ever be replaced.
I agree.
So, that being said, I don't know how I feel about, I know I want to see New Mutants just because it looks like a horror film, but I don't know how I feel about Dark Phoenix. So, but I'm sure I'll see it because it's a Marvel movie, or it's an X-Men movie. So, and yeah. If I remember the trailer correctly, it looks like the most X-Men movie of all the X-Men movies.
Which is sad. Yeah, it's projected to come out somewhere between June and July of 2019.
Yeah, it went from December to February to June, and then New Mutants got pushed way back.
Yeah.
So,
which I don't really care for as much, but just based on the premise, but
you know what? It's something different. It's not a straight up superhero movie, but it's a horror movie with superheroes, or with mutants, I should say. So that's, I like that kind of thing. I feel like that's what Marvel was. That's kind of what Marvel is doing with their superhero movies. They make a genre movie. They don't make a superhero movie. You know, it's a genre movie that has a superhero as the main character. So you've got your espionage tactical thrillers with Captain America, and you've got your heist, your comedy heist movies with Ant-Man, and your space operas with Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, it's they're genre films. So, and I feel like that's Fox was kind of dialing in on that too. It's like, let's take this and make a horror movie that happens to star, you know, mutants in it. So I'm interested to see that.
Yeah. So going on to, because we don't have official confirmation on Aquaman yet, although it has outsold Venom on Fandango for pre-sale.
Ooh.
Yeah, which...
There's a hurdle.
I know.
He said with an eye roll that no one can see.
Yeah, I didn't care about the whole Venom concept, but that's... I do say, just based on the trailers, it looks fun.
Aquaman does look like fun, and I liked the character of Aquaman that we saw in
Justice League. Yep.
So I know that I want to see Aquaman, but I also want to see all of the DC movies anyways. So basically it was, do we think Aquaman is going to be a success? And like you said, Steve, we don't know. So we just still want it to be one. I guess we'll have to revisit that one.
Yeah, that'll be a fun revisit.
For next year, or like as an update after
seeing
when we record it sometime afterwards. So...
The Matt Reeves Batman that we keep hearing about and seeing nothing for.
Oh, I want Matt Reeves Batman so bad. I really do. But yeah, we didn't see anything. They really haven't said anything about it in 2018. We've gotten more news and information about, like, we've gotten, like, they announced a Supergirl movie.
Joker.
They announced Joker. They announced Suicide Squad 2, which they got that Birds going in Birds of Prey. Yep. Like every other movie on the docket except for Matt Reeves' Batman. I wonder if it's because they can't figure out what they're doing yet. Like,
I think Affleck
can't figure out what he's doing.
I don't know if it's necessarily Affleck, but I wonder if it's just the state of the Warner Brothers studio itself. It might be in a like kind of a flux with, you know, changing management and then changing companies and not being able to agree on a story that they want, or meddling in with the DC Comics. Because I know that Geoff Johns had kind of... bailed from being the CEO of DC Comics to kind of working full-time in the movie universe. So I'm wondering if that might be helping to push things along, if anything, with some of the other ones.
Possibly.
I don't know.
Get me wrong, all the other movies that they've announced that I want to see just as much, but I just want Matt Reeves' Batman. Come on. Cast Armie Hammer. He was going to be Batman back in like 2004, 2005.
And he has to
cast him again. Just call him up, put him in the bat suit that he was already fitted for, and let's shoot a movie. Like, this isn't rocket science.
DC makes it out to be.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, okay, the next part on this is kind of another Batman-related thing, and I'm not quite sure. So, is Ben Affleck done being Batman? And we tag that as false.
Only because there's not been an official announcement, and every time they bring something up, he's like, but I'm not totally done.
And you know what made me really sad when I heard that? So, it's not Affleck that said he was officially done. It's Henry Cavill that said he was done.
I think that was fake, too.
You think it was fake, too?
I think so.
Man, this is just so... They don't need to be doing this stuff.
Like, that's kind of way... Like, I see a lot of... comments... about... You know, them... having certain actors quit. I know that they've said that Ben Affleck won't play Batman in the solo film, but they've also said that he could possibly be in it and have, like, him thinking back to an earlier case type thing and having a younger Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Almost kind of akin to what they want to do with the Die Hard movie. Like, some of the other news posts, like, I know in September they said that Ben Affleck might be exiting or hanging up the cape, in according to a report. But it doesn't say from what, you know. And then there's another claim that Henry Cavill won't be Superman. And so... and then his agent tweeted that the actor isn't quitting Superman.
Yeah, I saw that too.
So I think that they're just stirring the pot until something happens.
So I don't want to make this into a... I don't want to start doing predictions for 2019 yet, but do you think Superman is in Shazam?
I want to think so.
Me too.
Because
I also just really want to see Shazam beat the crap out of Superman. Because that is one of my favorite episodes of Justice League.
Magic. Magic trumps Superman every time.
That is one of my favorite episodes.
But yeah, there's a lot of reports saying either way as far as Affleck and Cavill leaving their roles. So I wouldn't even put any... grain of salt.
Oh, speaking of the Joker movie, what do you think of them casting another Thomas Wayne? Like, why is it not Jeffrey Dean Morgan?
Yeah, like,
Was it Alec Baldwin?
It was for a minute.
Yeah, why was it ever going to be him? It should have been Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Like,
different director, different vision. I guess it's not supposed to even be connected remotely with the current DCEU.
Yeah.
Because even the Jokers are different.
Yeah, I get that.
So, I mean, I kind of get it, but I think that it's kind of polarizing at the same time to have multiple varieties in the film universe.
Like, if only because I want Jeffrey Dean Morgan to be Batman in Flashpoint.
Oh, wait, I'd be down for that.
Like, I've said it before. I've said it since, like, he was cast as Thomas Wayne. Like, you don't cast Jeffrey Dean Morgan if you're not going to do Flashpoint.
Which I think Snyder was going to do.
And I don't know that you, like, it's so per, like...
It seems a waste on him.
Oh man, that's just a sore spot.
And he would do it too. That's the sad thing. He wants to do like Flashpoint Batman.
It's so disappointing that I just, man, that just got me right in the feels. Zack Snyder and the whole DCEU thing falling apart.
Just have Matt Reeves do one with Jeffrey Dean Morgan being Flashpoint Batman. An Elseworlds told storyline.
Just bums me out, that's all. So, all right, enough Batman talk. We always talk about Batman on this show.
Well, that's kind of how the podcast started.
What?
Very it's first true, episode.
And did our very first episode have like the greatest prediction of all time, which was the suit?
I think it was the announcement that Ben Affleck was going to be Batman.
I remember going through the
stages of grief.
Yeah, with that announcement and being totally fine with it by the time we were done recording.
I was still stuck on it a little bit, but I got over it.
I went out and rented a bunch of the more recent Ben Affleck movies and watched them, and they made me feel better about it. So, excuse me.
So, the three more iPhones.
Yeah, I had a throwaway joke one about there being three more iPhones in 2018 because, well, that's just the state of things, and I was right. there were two iPhone. There was an iPhone XS. There's an iPhone XS Max. And there's the iPhone XR were the three new iPhones announced this year. So that was just a throwaway one just for funsies, because I think we started that prediction episode out with us saying that, like, you predict something long enough and it becomes true. Yep. So that was just my fun little prediction. Now the next couple here, like, I feel like that's more you, because I feel like you follow that stuff more than I do. So
the more 90s revivals, which was true, because I remember mentioning that Roseanne was coming back at that time, which it did, but it got canceled and recommitted as the Connors. But so we've seen, like, Murphy Brown come back. We've seen Fuller House is getting canceled after this season drops in December. On Netflix. So, I mean, there's more 90s shows seemingly trying to make a comeback if they already haven't.
So I remember we talked about Mad About You. Has that even come back yet?
I don't think it is yet, but I think that it's still, like, one of those pipe dream ones. I know they brought back, like, they've kind of revived or rebooted, which I don't know if reboot and revive would even fit in the same, but... because we've had, like, Sabrina and Charmed, you know, get rebooted from the 90s and today.
But Charmed isn't out yet either.
No.
Sabrina has come out, though. Yes. I've watched a couple episodes of that.
We've also had, like, She-Ra get rebooted, which some people...
I need to watch that.
I haven't watched it, but that's more so just lack of interest. I know that some people that watched it enjoyed it, and some people were like... You know, down with the beast, down with the change.
Whatever.
I'm leaving that.
Moving on.
I was joking about, like, TGIF type stuff, and then ABC dropped it that, oh, we're bringing back TGIF, and then we're just moving a bunch of other programs to fill the slots on the Friday block. Like, they actually brought back the TGIF, like, moniker.
Okay. Yep, I think I heard that somewhere, but it's not, they're not filling it with, like, reboots or revival of those shows. They're just moving their comedy block around.
Basically, they're moving, like, more of their family sitcoms to the...
So what is it, like, Modern Family and Blackish?
I think Blackish is on there, and then the one from the boat.
Okay, Fresh Off the Boat.
Fresh Off the Boat is on there. They've got one that's basically Fred Savage hosting a show... on there about, like, it's basically a comedy show with kids.
Okay.
Basically something you would have seen Cosby do in the 80s.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Not drugging people, but, you know.
Oh, okay.
You know, the comedy shows with the kids where they say the you know, goofy stuff, but...
The thing with the thing.
Yeah, with the Jell-O pudding pops. So, that was a terrible impression.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we're gonna get sued. No, and then moving on from that boat, joking about, like, the N64 Classic, which as of yet has not come to fruition, although the PlayStation Classic did.
So, funny thing about that N64 Classic, because, you know, we just made that prediction based off of the fact that they did the NES the year before and then the SNES. And the NES is now widely available. I've seen it at a couple of places. They reissued that. But I saw the funniest tweet regarding the N64. It was by a guy named Chris Kohler, who does the Retronauts podcast that I listen to.
Yeah.
He said, I retweeted it, so I don't know if you saw this, but he said, the N64 Classic will cost you $300 plus a $20 a year subscription, and also it's a Switch. So, I don't think he's wrong. I think we're done with these mini consoles because they can use that same. They can get you to buy a Switch for $300 and pay them $20 a year to get access to all those things.
Which is. In all honesty, smarter on their behalf.
Yeah, I think so too, because I think there's a lot of games that would be like on the N64 Classic that I would like to play on the Switch, mainly Mario 64. And I'd probably dig into Mario Kart 64 again.
I loved Mario Kart 64, Super Smash Brothers, the original. There was just something about it, like, it seemed like a lot of the characters got nerfed from Smash Brothers to Melee that were in it. At least the ones that I used were. And then they gave them some of their capabilities back in Brawl, but yeah, I mean, I honestly miss the Smash Brothers games, and I miss the old, you know, the Mario Kart 64 and some of the other, what was it, Perfect Dark and then 007 that were on that.
Yeah, I want Star Fox 64. That's what I want.
And the controller was really strange, but it wasn't, like, once you figured out how to actually hold the controller, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it was like a third of that controller was useless.
Yeah.
But it was a really nice, it was a nice controller, unless you were playing Mario Party, and then it destroyed your hands.
I remember using that for Smash Brothers, and it would destroy my hands playing that. I also remember playing for, like, 12 hours straight or something, and because my friends were, because he owned it, he was better than I was at the game, and so I was like, I'm not going to be destroyed, and so, like, they all fell asleep, and I just kept playing until I, like, passed out. But, yeah.
I love the N64. I have great memories of it. So
I really enjoyed the N64. I liked the SNES, and then I liked the GameCube after that, and then I kind of liked the Wii. I was like, I don't know. Although I did invest in the Virtual Console when I had that.
So. Yeah. See, I was always a Nintendo guy. I had a Game Gear. That was the only non-Nintendo system I ever had until the PlayStation. But like, I was a diehard Nintendo guy. And it seemed like every generation of Nintendo console, like, I got fewer and fewer games for it because there was less and less that interest me. Like, I definitely only had, like, maybe 5 games for the GameCube.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe. I think I had Metroid. I had Metroid Prime. I had Smash. I had Crazy Taxi. Pikmin. And I'm scratching my head trying to think of a fifth game. Like, they just started, you know, getting buried by, like, the PlayStation and the PlayStation 2. And I had both, you know, so it was like clearly buying more games for one system over the other. But I always feel bad. Like, I had a Wii, but I only had maybe 5 games for that too. I had Wii Sports and the Metroid Prime trilogy, which I never played. And I think that's all I ever had. I never got, I got Wii Sports, and it came with Wii Sports. So that tells you how many games I actually bought for the freaking thing. And then the Switch, I had the Wii U. I bought more games for the Wii U than I did for the Wii. But that, now I have the Switch, and I don't even play that. Just put it in the dock, let it charge up, take it out of the dock, set it on my entertainment center, and let it discharge. But no, I love Mario Kart. I have Mario Kart on the Switch, Mario Kart 8. I played the Mario Kart on my SNES Classic, and I'd play the crap out of some Mario Kart 64. So I hope those games show up somewhere. Either maybe they do the Classic again, but maybe they also just put them on the Switch. I don't know, but as long as they do something with those games, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I'd definitely be up for some more of that. Those old retro games. That would be about the only way I would get back into getting those consoles, is having the ability to get the games again that way.
But yeah, I did love that controller. Loved it. Excuse me. I used to do this weird thing when we, because there was, you could do 4-player split screen in Star Fox 64, and it was just, you know, four v four, or, you know.
I remember when doing that in like 007.
Yeah, well, what we did with Star Fox, because I was really good at it compared to everyone that I'd play with, we found out that they could give me a handicap. There was this trick you could do with the N64 controller. So the analog stick, it calibrated itself every time you turned the system on. So if you unplug, or every time you plugged the controller in. So if you unplugged the controller and held the stick to the left, say, and you plugged it in, like, left would be, like, null. Like, it wouldn't do anything.
Hmm.
So you would only have the directions of up, down, left, and right. Or up, down, right. Up, down, and right. So you couldn't turn left. And so I would give myself, like, they'd be like, okay, we're going to unplug your controller, and you have to hold, like, you know, some direction on the stick, and then they would plug it back in, and I wouldn't be able to move in that direction the entire time.
I didn't even know you could do that.
So they primarily used it so, like, if you flew low to the ground in Star Fox 64, you didn't show up on the radar. So they would always have it so, like, I would be forced to fly in the air. Like, I couldn't go down. I could only go up. So, but yeah, you could just do fun little things like that. So, yeah, bring on that N64 classic.
Yeah. So, the next one was your No Infamous 3.
Did I make that? Did I miss it? Did I make a prediction that there would be No Infamous 3? Was that, like,
so.
Right at the end?
Yeah. Okay. I looked, and I believe that was true, that there wasn't one. Cause...
Yeah, there isn't. But I feel like I would have made the prediction that there was an Infamous 3 announcement. But either way, there was no talk of Infamous 3 this year. And I am a sad panda for it.
So, although everybody's been playing Red Dead Redemption 2 and Fallout 76.
Correction. Everyone has been playing Red Dead Redemption 2. Everybody else has been trying to play Fallout 76. So, but the last one we got here was... We weren't quite sure how to categorize this, but when I made this prediction, I made the prediction with there would be an actual
official
announcement, like, you know, seeing hardware, the whole shebang. But I said that sometime in 2018, we would get an announcement of the PlayStation 5, which has not happened. I don't think
not officially.
No, not officially, and we're recording this on November 20th. I don't really think, with 40 days left in the calendar year, give or take a day or two, that they're going to announce the PlayStation 5, given that Sony has canceled their PlayStation Experience for this year. So, yeah, I'm bummed, but if we do, like, when we do our prediction episode for 2019, I'm going to throw this in there. I'll throw it in here now, but I'm going to put it in there again too. I'm still beating that drum, man. There are a lot of people that think it's 2020. I think it's next year. I don't know. It feels right. It's like, it's time. PlayStation 4 was 5 years old, turns 5 this year. This past, like, last week, it turned 5 years old.
Wow.
It's getting long in the tooth, but it's weird. Like, you're still seeing amazing looking games and what developers are able to do with the hardware and stuff like that. So it's not like it was It's not like the 8 and 9 years that the, or 7 and 8 years that the Xbox 360 and the PS3 were around, but I don't think the manufacturers want to let it get that way again. Because that did more harm than good for video games. So I suspect there will be an announcement next year. I'm 90% sure there will be an announcement next year. I'm going to do the dumb thing and say there's a 50-50 shot that will also be released next November. This isn't the prediction episode. This is just me.
Just saying
that.
One of the articles I was looking at on TechRadar mentions the whole thing about the life cycles too, but they're saying that more than likely the introduction of it will be at the end of 2019. And Microsoft has the Xbox 2 codenamed Xbox Scarlet, which is slated for 2020. So I'm guessing that they'll try and push theirs out before Microsoft.
Well, if anything, it could end up being like 2013 was, where they release a week apart from each other.
Could be.
But I just think that, I don't know. If they're not releasing the hardware next year, I don't think we'll get an announcement of the hardware until 2020. Like, that's, and I know that's like, I'm making a prediction like 2 years out now, but it's like, at a certain point, you want to announce new hardware, but you don't want to cut into your profits.
Which is why they haven't officially announced anything yet.
Right. And so it's one of those things like, you wouldn't announce it now because you've got Black Friday coming up where people are going to be buying consoles, and you don't want people to all of a sudden stop because you're going to have new hardware 12 months from now. But Sony isn't going to E3 now next year either.
Oh, wow.
So there's like, they're going to do something next year. And I really feel like it's going to be some type of a prediction, or it's going to be some type of an announcement of new hardware with stuff to show for it. But again, they're not going to they're not going to not want to have it for holiday season 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't know. I'm just a guy sitting at home. I have no connections with anything. I'm just shooting from my hip and going with what my gut tells me about what I've seen in the past with video game stuff. And everyone that I follow online is saying that it's going to be, 2020. So it could be a February, March announcement in 2020 with release in the fall of 2020, like it was in 2013. But I feel like, because of just, we talked about the cell phone model for, the way people buy cell phones and stuff like that, I feel like they can announce new hardware and they can release it next fall and it won't cut into their consumer base. They'll just get people to upgrade to the new hardware when they're ready. But everyone will be able to play all the games, So I think we're done with that. I still 100% believe we are done with that. Oh, you have a PS3, so you can't play with us on PS4. I feel like that is done. I feel like everybody will be able to play with everything going forward. And on that note, I also feel another small prediction. I feel like crossplay will become an even bigger thing in 2019. So, but we can talk about more on that on the actual prediction episode.
Yeah. So I would say that we've about round out this episode with our failures of predictions, along with some other conversation on those failures or true predictions.
Yeah, it wasn't so bad.
No.
I honestly thought just going over the list would be like a 10-minute affair.
Yeah, I was actually surprised we got more out of it than what we did.
So,
but there was a lot of conversation on some of the Batman stuff and the rights issues and speculation on reasons why things may or may not happen the way that they did. So, yeah, I would say that that about rounds it out. So, we'll probably do the prediction episode. I would probably think until, like, we would save that for 2019.
Okay.
Officially, so that, you know, this year's all the way done, and then we can round out whether Aquaman was a success or not.
That sounds like a plan.
But, yeah, I'll have to figure out what we're going to talk about next week. Or the next episode, per se. I'm getting confused.
Yeah.
So, until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.